especially during difficult times, no, ekona o Kristo ni ne light really shines. Assignment of Pentecostal Mother said, the church as light or the shining church. Now I'm going to approach it with three theses. Said, the most effective way are church no beshering, and it said, church no suvine e beshering. More importantly, during a future remuno, a corner, the beautiful aspect of the woman who said for Christo in the light, they shine. And the end message, no, my title, no, shine like stars. See, a best shrine, set and stroma, Ghana, yen, major monument, yes, say Ghana Black Star, we call Independence Square. The Black Star, no, a philosophical statement. Or say, a star can shine, and a black star can certainly shine. And then I'm likening the church to a black star. Now the message me said, one so sorry, nashiren, say and stroma. And I'm saying, Mr. Mubebre, I pray to Mubebre Dante, mean summarize what I am going to talk about. Three things. Shine like stars when the days are dark. Senaria sumua, sorry, nashiren. Now three things I'll be talking about. The Edikine, Shirin, by Karen Wasendia. Shirin, a brief year especially, said a sitna muyadea, kai se erade eye in control. Nothing say great with erade, empo se Christo eye se wapoa. Those are the three things I'll talk about today. The Edikine, meaning in Chiazifi Bebia, me a German, whom be praying in whom it. I don't know if you're having yourself so far on that, one better member. Not necessarily so. A Juma, me, you know, actually, among my attention, I call more to the young people than in Penifo. And besides, I'm a funny, after that, one more thriving. And you're saying, yeah, if I can't move it to you. Indeed, yes, yeah. To be honest, maybe I'm in here with dressing grab and the ones are crying. It's true. Anyway, to see I'm here with students, particularly students at Wamuwa Abai University. Now we are based at the University of Michigan, and no yet the largest federally funded university in the United States. Nehwa and Yati Center be a friend of campus. Campus no Ejinahoma Center for Adventist Ministry to Public University Students. Ye puta ni se, ye bebwabwa mabumano, ni a challenge you no ma ye effective leaders. Ama Yesu ni maya totumieno. University campuses a ye major challenge. Bible trail said, Yanko Yasia Fenenina and preach the gospel. And Sana Abiyanaba. Nanso Yentan custom places, Rafbeka said, the world of secular campuses, no, one way a mission field. Nenyo Biano to make a Kenyan sem. Woko major university campuses are, and for Sebi, and he said, Emuremo. Rafbeka said, they are concrete jungles. And yet Ghana, and yet South America, Papua New Guinea, and yet what jungles of major university, when you know a university, but a concrete jungle, because Nyamisum Biara anyhow. One day you would back up a secular campus, if you are not careful, your child would lose his or her way. Because by the time of a science class, or maybe science class, no, there is no God, Nyaminiho. Or call history class, the only trend is Marxism, there is no God. Or call psychology, a new age, no God, at best, no one can say nyame. Or call English language, a feminism, and also a religion. Or call English literature, a lesbianism. se minka no brofo se beya azeta wa mabano wombeti ase nti if you can get me a translator, I've just been alerted to the fact that some may not fully understand everything, and so I would attempt to rush through. That's it. What I was mentioning is secular university campuses are major jungles. Many go there because they think they can get, you know, good education. And indeed, they get the education, but in the course, they lose their faith. On our campus, you know, one of the big religions that attracts people is football. Everything you can find on secular campuses are there. Wild stuff. I am mentioning this because many of your kids are going there. And I can reliably predict that unless we do something for these children, 70 to 80% of them would never come to church again. On our campus, at least one whole week is set aside to smoke pot. We call it an annual hash bash week, and everything about marijuana is freely available. And they conclude the week with what we call a naked mile run, where people, male and female, they strip themselves naked and run for 1 mile. I don't want to insult your insensitivity, and so I just showed a slight picture that doesn't show many parts. Those are the institutions your children are attending. Many of them are going through all kinds of personal crises. It is affecting their spiritual lives. From alcohol to sex to pornography, everything, they are into it. And right now, even in your homes, they are on the computer. What you don't know is some of them are already hooked on pornography. They are not sure now whether to be Christians or not. And because they are so insecure and their faith has been undermined, many of them are turning to occultism for answers. Many are into different kinds of spiritualism. It is not just in America, even in Ghana. Every year I go to one Ghanaian university and it is the same thing. Unless we do something seriously for these young people, we are going to lose them. That is why I am so pleased this year your leaders make provision to have a youth camp for the young people. And I prefer to be in with them than being with the adults. And so I've given two sets of presentations to the youth. In the morning, I give a series on excellence, how they can excel. And in the mornings, I give a presentation in the evenings how each one can make a difference. I'm simply sharing with them what I'm sharing with our other students, not in just in the States, but also around the world. Our ministry started in
98
in Michigan. And there at the University of Michigan, we have a small church on campus. But don't underestimate the smallness of the group. Because the lives are being changed. And they are the people who are going wrong to change their generation. We run a missionary training program on that campus. Every year we choose no more than 10 students. They set aside a year to be missionaries on secular campuses.
And
we look for some of the very best academically and also spiritually. They come from major universities. On the screen, the girl on your left is the top student in her class now at law school at Virginia University. The second girl, she graduated from engineering from MIT, the leading university, now doing her PhD in chemical engineering. We have Africans in the mix too. The second girl on your right, she's at Harvard University. We make it very hard for them to enter our program. This year, for the third time, we have one Ghanaian there. The black girl, Dora. The third on your right. And when these students, after spending a year with us, they go back to their campuses and they start changing the campuses. In our missionary program in other institutions, we pay them to go as student missionaries.
But
in our program, we don't pay them. They have to pay to be in the program. You have to write a 10-page essay why you want to be in the program. You have to do 3 months of canvassing to be in the program.
Na ebusume miensa ukotong a woman.
And while you are in a program, no dating, no boyfriend, no girlfriend.
I don't think you plan what sa and shame naturally.
And they have set the standard for the new generation of
Adventists.
We have many programs. Every year we spend 5 days for leaders for student movement who come to train and go back.
And then
a whole year we used to study one subject. For example, we studied about excellence for a whole year. We have retreats. We have programs for high schoolers so that they would know how to excel in school. We have many different activities. We have women's ministry on campus. We don't call it women's ministry, we call it WIMS. We have evangelistic meeting. We don't call it evangelistic meeting. We call it Bible lecture series. What takes place in the States, then I'll take it to Ghana during February to give evangelism on secular universities. And the Lord is blessing us with baptisms at the end of 1 week, at least 50 baptisms, including professors. People thought it isn't possible, but now we are witnessing it is changing the dynamics of secular
health.
These are our leaders. We don't take ourselves seriously, we take the Lord seriously. It is from our ministry that GYC was born, Generation of Youth for Christ. As our students went round, wherever they go, they started winning souls, and a whole new movement
emerged.
Within 3 years of the ministry, their number grew to 400. The following year, 800.
Amen.
1600. It kept doubling.
Amen.
At our last meeting, there were almost 6,000 young people. Sabbath offering $187,000. When we hold our meetings, they are not in classrooms like this, at hotels, high class hotels. In fact, initially the church was even shocked. They've never seen anything like that, so they thought we are creating a secondary movement. But praise the Lord, they got the light now. We now have African group, we call it Alive. one in pink shirt on your right and the one with the white banana, they are from Zambia. About a month ago, we were in Zambia and they raised up a movement, 900 students registered, it's about 3,000. Next year we are going to Ghana. Our goal is to mobilize and challenge the young people. And some of these are brilliant. A girl in white works with the United Nations. She's taking a year off to go to the Kalahari Desert. We have a program for core courses, we call it Excel. We have a new program between Harvard and MIT, we call it Stride.
MIT and Harvard, you see, we go high, friend of Stride.
And now we want to start publishing, we call it Campus Press.
Now, if I say, see, teaching woman, a best friend of Campus Press.
And it is the young people who are going to be the authors.
Now, and yet, a Mapuno and a best church to San Diego.
To give them encouragement, we publish from Campus Press. This is on the best way. What you don't know, the one who designed the cover of this book was the one who designed President Obama's inauguration brochure.
President Obama, I'm
talking to you about the new caliber of Adventists who are emerging. So when I'm speaking to your children, zero tolerance for laziness. We are developing resources for them, MP3s, DVDs, and the host of others. Because a church that reads is a church that grows.
If you say, I'm sorry I can carry, I'm sorry I can read.
Increasingly, we are not reading. And so we are bringing materials out literally 3 or 4 every year. I'm spending time to share with you what I'm doing in case you don't see me, so you don't say that I hate your churches. We have a ministry to graduates and young professionals. We have a professional group for doctors. Amen.
Amen.
Many people don't know that Amen started with our ministry.
Now, before you need to say Amen,
we have a health ministry called Chef.
Now you are from Dean and to the eye from so Chef.
And this is impacting generations.
Now we
and as young people are listening to our messages, watching the television program all over the world, suddenly young people are rising up. Even right here in Germany, what you don't know is there is youth in mission, which is actually inspired by our GYC.
Now, some of you in Germany will be afraid of youth in mission.
In Northern England, we have Advance, and I can go down the line.
Northern England, say, well, Advance, we service the Bible.
We study the Bible. And this morning and tomorrow, I'll be sharing with you from the Word of God simple messages that are impacting our generation. Let your light shine, is our faith. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, speak to us in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today's message is entitled Shine Like Stars. Stars are suns in the universe. When during the dark you look into the skies and you see stars, every single star is a sun which commands its own planet. When the Bible says you are the light of the world, it means on our little planet Earth, you must shine so that the whole universe can know something about Christ. First of all, we must shine for this planet and everyone to get to know Christ. Philippians chapter 2 says, do everything without complaining or arguing. So that you become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in this crooked and depraved generation. In which you shine like stars. In this crooked generation, you must live your life so you will shine in this universe. And as I said at the beginning, the best and most effective way to shine is when the days are dark, during difficult times. Shortly before Jesus comes, there is going to be a time of trouble. Those who are going to stand are those who shine like
stars.
Our scripture reading was taken from Daniel 12, 1 to 3. Where we were told that there will be a time of trouble during which Michael will stand up. And God is going to raise his people from the dead, those who die. At that moment, they will shine like stars. My point is, right now, we are to shine like stars. Shortly before Jesus comes, there is going to be trouble, and God expects us to start shining. And so my message today is directed towards us so we can learn how to shine when unthinkable things happen in our way. I want to tell the story of Ellen Dyfner, who lives in South Africa. She was a dedicated Christian lady. One day she was diagnosed with leprosy, which meant she had to be quarantined in a leprosarium. While at the hospital leprosarium, her only husband died. Her son died from polio. Her sister was going to visit her. She died in a car accident. And Ellen was a dedicated Christian. Why?
Adentia.
While still at the hospital, she had gangrene, and the only way she could be saved was to have both legs amputated. She had eye problems. And the eye drops that were prescribed, the nurse made a mistake. Instead of eye drops, she drops acid in her eye. She became blind. She was a Christian. And the question is, what do you do when you are a Christian and things start going wrong? It is at that moment when you ought to shine. Because Satan's goal is so undermine, dehumanize, and assault you with trials that if possible, you would give up. If I were preaching, I would have called your attention to these texts from the book of Job. In Job 1 verse 6 and Job 1 verse 13 and Job 2 verse 1, you are going to discover one recurring theme through these verses. Let's see whether you catch it. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking. Chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Do you see any recurring theme throughout all this? What is it?
There was a day, verse 13.
Again, there was a day in chapter 2, verse 1. The simple message, a day is coming. When the unthinkable, something you never thought of, will happen to you. It can be a loss of your job. Your family members. Your health. Everything would be lost in a day. What would you do? Three things I'll be emphasizing today. But notice this statement from Ellen White. We shall be brought into straight, that is, difficult places in our way. Trials will come. God will test the strength of our faith. He will prove us to see if we will trust Him under difficulties. She goes on to say, some God trains by bringing them disappointment and apparent failure. And then he goes on to talk about so many things. Here's my point. Some difficult days are ahead. And when those days come, shine like stars. Number one, by carrying your cross faithfully. Number two, by remembering God is in control. And thirdly, by remembering to spend time alone with God. When God places any cross on you, Jesus says, each one of us will be given a cross to carry. Carry your cross faithfully. I use this illustration for students. It's a story. It's like Jesus gave everyone a cross to carry. But instead of carrying the cross faithfully, there was one of them who was not willing to do so. He felt his cross was too heavy. So he started complaining that they should cut off some of the cross. I think he was from Ghana. And so he took his measuring stick and measured the cross and cut off part of the cross. And then he carried it. You notice that his cross is lighter, it's not touching the ground. But after a while, he said the cross is also still too heavy. So he said, "Lord, please cut it down a little more. I'll be able to carry it better." And so once again, he measured the cross and cut off some. And then he started praising the Lord. "Thank you, Jesus." And as he was heading out, he was celebrating, praising the Lord. Until he came to a dip. A dip, big gathering. He was the first to be there. So the others joined him. And each placed their crosses across the two ends and crossed over. He tried and it didn't work. What's the thrust of the story? We often complain about our crosses. Not realizing God gave us the crosses to prepare us for some big dips ahead. Shine like stars when you even have to carry a heavy cross. Number two, when you have to carry your burdens, remember God is still in control. He is controlling all the stars in the universe and planet. Just watch this. Our planet Earth is right here. This planet is traveling at the speed of 1,000 miles per second, almost 2,000 kilometers per hour. Your car runs about 100 kilometers per hour. This planet, even as we are sitting here, it is moving 1,000 kilometers per hour right now, but you don't feel it. At the same time that it is moving so fast, it is also spinning. It is spinning at 67,000 miles, almost 200,000 kilometers per hour. That is how fast it is. I'm talking to you about a God who is in control. Each of these planets is traveling at some 30 feet and spinning at the same time. They don't collide. What makes you think your world will crash? And this is just our planetary system, all of which revolve around the sun. To give you a perspective, this is our Earth. There are other planets. All of them are moving at terrific speed. They are spinning at the same time. And God is in control of them all. What makes you think he's not in control of your life? But God has bigger planets than our earth. This is our planet.
Earth.
Now, if you take other planets in our solar system, this is our earth. We have bigger planets like Jupiter, like Saturn,
Neptune,
Uranus. All of these are spinning around and also racing at terrific speed. God is in control over all of this. And you are a tiny little bit of this one planet. But there is more. This is our sun. The nine planets, they are now eight planets. Here is our tiny little earth. God is in control over this sun. He takes care of all of this. Why do you think he cannot take care of your planet? The message, no matter your difficulties, God is still in control.
Amen.
But every sun is a star. Here is our sun. This is the sun. Our planet, you can't even see it. Let me back up. Here is our sun. Here is our earth. And you are somewhere a little thin there. Now look at this sun in relation to other suns. There are other suns as big as Arcturus. And now this is our own sun. And where is our earth? And where are you? And you take Arcturus. Here is Arcturus.
Arcturus.
In comparison with other suns. So if Arcturus is here, our sun is, you can't even see our sun. And where is our earth? And that is just one sun. Each sun has many planets around them. Antares is the 15th brightest star in the sky. On a dark day, you see many stars. The 15th brightest, I don't know which one, perhaps is this one, that is Antares. And there are many other suns. And each sun has many planets around them. I am giving you a perspective. This is Antares. Now, it is one of these. And in the dark places where you don't see any sun, if we take one dark spot, and you magnify it, you are going to see other suns there. Do you understand what I'm trying to portray? God is in control over all these suns. So, what about you? The Bible tells us, when I consider thy heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars. Who is man that God you are thinking about him? So when your days are dark, remember God is still in control. That leads me to my last point. You notice that I am not preaching to you today. I am speaking to you because a danger is coming. Many of us are losing our faith because the crosses are too heavy for us. So third point, shine like stars when days are dark. When it appears God has forsaken you, because it is going to happen soon. Many people forsake their babies. They dump them in a pit. We often forsake our children. In the Western world, we forsake the elderly. We dump them in a nursing home. One of these days, it is going to appear that God has forsaken you. Every child of God faced that experience. Job went through it. He said, it's like God has overthrown me. He has stripped me of everything. He has destroyed me. Everything is against me. When you go read Job 19, verse 30 says, my brethren are far away from me. Verse 14, family members, they have failed me and forgotten me. Those in my house, they consider me a stranger. Even my wife, you know, considers my breath strange. In verse 20, even his skin was changing, facing, forsaking him. What will you do during that time of trouble in your life? That is why today I want to conclude. When it appears God has forsaken you, what should you do? When it appears you can't even find what you pray, it goes nowhere. Job experienced it. Elijah experienced it. He wanted to die. Jeremiah experienced it. And he felt that God is a liar. What you promised me, you have failed me. You are a liar. John the Baptist experienced it. A time came when he started doubting, is Jesus the man? Jesus himself experienced it. And he asked, why have you forsaken me, my God? What should you do when God seems to forsake you? I look at my time and I have 5 more minutes. But this is the section that is most important. We are to shine like stars in this crooked world. We are to shine, especially as we approach the time of trouble. I want to pause. How much time do we have? Is the food here? Is the food here yet? It's ready. Okay, I'll pause here. Let me summarize what I was going to say. At this stage, I would have paused and asked you to turn to one another. And then I would ask you two questions. I would have asked you what the most shocking news you have experienced is in your life. And then I will ask you, what did you do when you received the most shocking news in your life? When I ask students this question, for some, it was when they were raped. When they were diagnosed with AIDS. When someone they love died. I've been given some time. Thank you. What is the most shocking news you've ever received? Do you know that in the life of Christ, every day was a shocking news? Let me call your attention to one incident. And the way he dealt with it is the way we have to deal with it. Pay attention to this passage. It is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. This event is so important that all the four Gospels recorded
it.
The Bible says, one day Jesus had some news. And after he heard the news, he told his disciples, let's go to the other side. And when they left to the other side, the Bible says the crowd had Jesus say, let's go to the other side. So before they got there, the crowd had absorbed them. And the Bible says when Jesus saw them, he was moved with compassion. He had wanted to rest, but the crowd would not let him. And so the Bible says he healed the people. The city says when it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus, send them away. But Jesus said, no, don't send them away. Get them something to eat. And then they said, we have only 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Jesus said, you know the remainder of the story. Finally, Jesus got the loaves, blessed it, and provided it for the people. When they finished eating, they gathered the fragments. And the Bible says there were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Afterwards, the Bible says Jesus sent his disciples away. And then after he sent the disciples away, he went to the crowd, the multitude. And then when he had finished, he sent them also away.